Hello, and welcome to Every Woman here at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Una here with Fiona behind the soundboard today and doing engineering for us.
Hello.
Hello. And we have our co-host Anthony in the studio with us, too.
Hello.
We have a really special Every Woman show for you today. Well, as I said earlier on the 10th Voice, all of our shows are really special, you know, so I guess some of them might be more special than others. We are here to talk today with representatives from Bike Walk KC. And if you're wondering, what does this have to do with Every Woman? Bike Walk KC has a wonderful program centered on encouraging and empowering women to be fit, meet friends, explore the community, and generally have a good time that we're going to discuss here. Bike Walk KC in general is a group with a mission to redefine our streets as places for people to build a culture of active living. They have a mission statement, which is seeing a community that is barrier-free, has complete hiking and complete biking and walking access. It's hard to hike with your bike unless you just want to carry it on your back or whatever, and has a connected culture of active transportation and active lifestyle. See what I said about making mistakes on the air? There you go. Nobody cares. They love us. So our guests in the studio today with us are Maggie Green, Director of Programs for Bike Walk KC, and Karen Campbell, the Director of Development and Communications.
Hi, thanks for having us.
How's it going? Thanks.
Great. So I want to start out by having you talk a little bit, I guess, beyond my intro level of what is Bike Walk KC for the listeners out there who really haven't heard of it.
So Bike Walk KC is the regional bicycle and pedestrian advocacy organization. So we started about 7 years ago now, kind of as a result, because we were one of the biggest cities without an organization dedicated to this sort of thing. So you look at cities like Chicago or St. Louis or Minneapolis. They all had organizations that were working on education about bicycling and walking, you know, infrastructure like sidewalks and trails. And so that's kind of what we're here to do, is to connect and encourage folks about biking and walking issues in Kansas City.
And when you say Kansas City, do you mean just KCMO or the entire metro area?
The whole region. So both sides of the state line, across the river. We work in about, we call it the Mid-America Regional Council's boundary, so about five, six county region.
That's wonderful. And this effort is just local to Kansas City. You're not part of a larger organization, correct?
Correct. We partner with statewide organizations in Kansas and Missouri, but we are our own dedicated organization here serving the Kansas City region.
And you're actually a nonprofit 501c3, just like us.
Yeah. Yep.
That's really cool. So what was the inspiration for forming this? When were you formed, and you know, who was responsible for getting everybody organized?
So 2011 is when we were officially formed as a nonprofit organization, and it was a group of advocates around Kansas City that had been bicycling, that were experiencing the environment, and they were realizing a need for change. You know, we're a very car-centric city, and so people were riding, and people do walk even 7 years ago, obviously. So there was really recognition and kind of a gathering of advocates to say, hey, let's do something. Let's start an organization to start to create change.
You're exactly right with us being a very car-centric city, and we also don't have much in the way of mass transit. I mean, the little Main Street trolley is kind of neat and everything, but that's not really going to solve any problems.
And that wasn't around 7 years ago when they were founded and looking at this.
Right? Granted. So you have a specific program within Bike Walk KC, which is called Women Bike KC. So why don't you tell our listeners all about that?
Sure. So the women's initiative, Women Bike KC, was launched in 2014. So we started the organization, and it was a few years later that we really realized, you know, hey, there's more men bicycling in Kansas City than women. And so what can we do to help reduce that gap in gender, the gender gap in cycling? And so we wanted to empower women, get more women on bikes. And so we started the initiative by launching the first ever Women's Bike Summit, and that was in 2014. That year, we also passed an anti-harassment ordinance in KCMO that protected vulnerable road users. So not just women, but any vulnerable road user. And then we kicked off the initiative with a bunch of classes. So we do specific maintenance classes, education classes just for women and female identifying folks. We do networking activities. We do bike rides. We do a thing called bike to yoga. So we throughout the year do a lot of activities to support the women's initiative aimed at getting more women on bikes.
And I just add that that's for women of all abilities. I think it's important that when you say the word cyclist, that conjures up an image for some people that they may not identify with. And we want to be really clear that anyone can ride bikes. We do everything from teach people who've never ridden a bike before to working with advanced cyclists on things like health and wellness and fitness. So we really try to bring together people from all backgrounds, all abilities, ages, to encourage them to ride bikes.
I used to ride my bicycle a lot as a kid, and then I got a paper round, but then I moved to college and away, and I think my mom sold my bike because I wasn't using it and someone should get the benefit, and so now I don't have a bike, and I look at the new modern ones with all the dropped handles, and I'm like, I'm not sure I could handle that and have the balance for that. So I'm guessing you can give people advice about what might be a good bike, or what, particularly one with a comfortable seat.
Yes.
We know that those things can be like sitting on razor blades.
Yes, they can be. Absolutely.
So through our education programming, specifically focused on women, we do address a lot of those barriers because they can be a little bit different for women specifically. The level of comfort, bike shops can be really intimidating, not knowing what size of bike to or where to ride it or who to ride with, all of those things. So our education classes, in particular one called Confident City Cycling, for women only, we really, it's back to the basics. It is, we practice drills in the parking lot, and last year I taught a woman how to ride a bike for the first time in that class. So we really do kind of try to be as inclusive as we can and as basic as we can, and offer something for everyone.
So what is the anti-harassment ordinance in KC? I feel like that's important to talk about. I didn't know it existed until I was at your website.
Yes. So in 2014, like I said, we, City of Kansas City, Missouri, passed an anti-harassment ordinance. And I don't remember the exact ordinance language, but it was protecting vulnerable road users. So that's folks using a skateboard, a wheelchair, a bicycle, or a pedestrian, protecting them from any sort of car harassment of verbal harassment, that kind of thing. And so it's important to have. It was a precedent that was not, it didn't exist in Kansas City before 2014. And so I think there are some challenges on how do you enforce that ordinance. And, you know, oftentimes the police have to kind of hear the harassment happening in order to you know, to issue a ticket, that kind of thing. So we're kind of navigating through those challenges on how can we continue to make our streets safer for folks with this ordinance in place.
And we do encourage anyone who feels they've been harassed to make a police report, to put it on file. The police do track where there are pockets of harassment activity, and that helps them know where they can be located to be on the lookout for those sorts of things in the city.
And I would just reiterate that the police are, their activities are informed by folks reporting these sorts of things. So it is really important if there is an issue that you face, whether as a pedestrian or as a bicyclist, to report that so that we can continue to make our neighborhood safer.
And I know from prior experience trying to get cities to pass anti-discrimination ordinances that a lot of the time the reason that it doesn't pass is they say, well, we've had no complaints, so this isn't happening, it's a non-issue. But unless you've got an ordinance or something that can be reported against and tracked, then you can't show evidence that it's needed. So obviously, since you actually have the ordinance, it's really important for people to actually report things so it can be tracked and so that other cities in the area can see this might be a good idea.
Absolutely.
How prevalent is the issue of harassment of bicyclists? I mean, I've actually been in the car and had passengers in the car, you know, people not even driving, cursing at a bicyclist in the lane in front of them. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, you know, just what are you even doing? Just let them ride. We'll get around them. We're not in that big of a hurry. Back when I used to ride a bike quite a bit when I was a bit younger, it was very common. It seemed to be out and have someone make some sort of crude comment at me or cut in too close. Is it getting better at all?
Oh, man.
That's a big question.
Yeah. I think a lot of things are happening right now. If I look at where we were when the organization started and where we are now, there's been a lot of change that has happened, a lot of positive change. There's a lot more people riding bikes in Kansas City than there were 5, 6, 7 years ago, which is incredible. As far as the occurrence of harassment, I couldn't say. I think for me personally, it's been reduced a little bit, but I couldn't tell you why. And as far as locations, I think it could happen to anyone anywhere. And so the important thing is making sure you feel confident and that you report those issues when they happen. And that's one of the reasons why we have the education programming that we do, that why we advocate for things the way that we do, so that we can kind of support everyone kind of where they are. And encourage, you know, safe bicycling behaviors, which is, you know, something that we believe in.
I would say there are categories of cyclists. There are people who are fearless and they're going to bike no matter what, and they're going to bike on the street and they're comfortable doing that. But a big bucket of cyclists are in this category called interested but concerned. So they want to bike more, they wish to bike more, but they have these barriers, whether it's a feeling of safety, whether it's harassment, or just simply knowledge or fitness level. I put myself in that bucket. I do commute by bike. Not as much as I would like to, because I do feel like the infrastructure isn't there for me to feel comfortable. But I feel like Kansas City is making some great strides towards getting there, particularly across the region, places like North Kansas City, Overland Park, and Kansas City, Missouri. They're laying down more lanes of bike lanes, putting in protected bike lanes, things that will help people who are less confident on their bike feel more safe and also protected from traffic. I would say harassment, I don't experience outright harassment as much as I experience inattentiveness, because I'm having to watch the cars. I'm seeing how many people are down in their cell phones. They don't see me. They're not paying attention. So learning to be aware and alert at all times when I'm on my bicycle, that's different than being out on a trail or a paved bikeway.
And I can testify, I'm not a bicyclist, but I'm a frequent motorcyclist. And the inattentiveness is... it's really terrifying to me. I imagine it's just as bad on a bicycle in some ways, except maybe you're at a lower speed. But watching someone, going down a straight road and seeing someone stopped at a cross street and they seem to be looking directly at you, and then all of a sudden they pull out in front of you and you have to lock the brakes, and it's just... ugh.
Yep.
At least on a bicycle, when you stick your feet down, you tend to instantly get balance back again. On the motorbike, sometimes, particularly if you're a female and somewhat on the short side, having that leverage, especially if you're turning a corner, it can lead to wiping out very easily and getting injured, even though they didn't actually hit you, but because they were being an idiot.
Gosh, I wouldn't know anything about that.
I know.
So does Bike Walk, Casey, work with the city to create more sidewalks and bike lanes?
Very much so. We spend quite a bit of time at City Hall attending City Council meetings. We are part of regional committees and councils. We advise municipalities. We also have a planning division, so they work directly with planning architects, other organizations to help implement better infrastructure, whether that's sidewalks, bike lanes, crosswalks, safe routes to school. That's all territory that we work in very much every day.
So I know that you also work with Parks and Recreation to create trails in the city parks and so forth.
We do. Our trail work, we're very interested in helping advise that process, again, through the planning and also with the advocacy. Parks and Rec, there are also trail organizations, and there's a statewide initiative now, a convergence that's TrailNet and PedNet. Those are out of St. Louis and Springfield, working to improve this trail system on a state level, including the Katy Trail. We're very excited. The Rock Island Trail will ultimately connect to the Katy Trail, so we could ride bikes from the plaza to the St. Louis Arch. So we're very excited. We're hopeful that happens by 2020, perhaps.
And I think some of the work that I've realized we've really started to connect is that we can't only hold education classes. It goes a long way to educate folks, to get them experience, to practice the drills, you know, make people feel more confident, that sort of thing. But the whole other side of it, too, is policy and infrastructure and having good planning practices. And so our job is to kind of connect both of those things, right? That we need safe infrastructure, safe places to ride our bikes, but then also, you know, folks need to learn how to be ride bikes more comfortably and be more confident when they're riding. And so we kind of work at both levels.
So when I was riding bikes in the UK, we had like cycling proficiency tests as kids that you got a little certificate for and everything. And then you would go out on your bike and discover that the area where they told you to ride at the edge as close to the curb as possible was where all of the potholes and all the trash and broken glass and goodness knows what from the cars. So have you done anything pushing for safe, clean areas of the road for where the cyclists are?
Yes.
That sounded long-suffering.
Yeah. You know, I look at that in a couple of ways. One is, you know, of course, if there is a bike lane, I'm thinking of Southwest Boulevard that notoriously has a lot of the rocks and glass pushed away from the cars in the bike lane. And so it's not always the safest place to be riding your bike. So we do try to report those things to the appropriate municipality to make sure that bike lanes are considered on regular cleaning routes and that sort of thing. I think on a road that there isn't a bike lane, I think part of it is learning to be a little more confident by not riding so far to the edge. So if you're actually out a little bit more, you're more visible, and also you're kind of out of the way of the grates and all of the trash that might be on the side of the road. So that's kind of multifold as well.
I think on Southwest Boulevard, you might find just about anything laying in the road.
Yes.
Excuse me. I have actually seen a body laying in the road. They were alive, but one night. So,
well, Maggie and I have joked about carrying a folding broom, and when we see something, you know, hop off the bike, sweep it up, make it clean for the next person. It's obviously not always practical, but
maybe you could get a tricycle and then put something on the front, like a cow catcher on the train, right. And just scoop all the stuff up with you as you go and stop at the next trash bin.
It's a great idea.
I love it.
So. You're talking a lot about education. So what do you do in your education programs? How often are they, and do they cost?
Great question. So we do a lot. Education is one of our biggest programs. We have a team of about 15 people on the education team, part-time instructors that teach at schools and at off-site, and then we have a core group of full-time folks as well working on curriculum stuff and scheduling. So we have youth education and adult education, and our youth education is programming supported through 12 different school districts around the region, and it's expanding every semester. We usually see about 5,000 kids every year through our youth education programs. And we're actually taking bikes to elementary schools, teaching kids probably what you did in the UK when you were younger, but teaching kids bike safety skills in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade so that then they can be equipped with lifelong bicycling skills and, have a healthier lifestyle. Our adult education is usually about quarterly. We have a quarterly offering for our Confident City Cycling class, which is geared at, like, we talked a little bit about this already, but the basics of bicycling, talking about the rules of the road. It's geared towards really any experience level. We do maintenance classes usually once a quarter as well. So empowering folks to learn how to work on their own bikes is really in high demand. Folks really want to know how to work on their bikes. So that's our adult classes. Once a quarter, we have a maintenance class. Once a quarter, we have this Confident City Cycling course. There's one coming up for women only starting next week, May 1st, 8th, and 15th. Confident City Cycling is a series, and it's we progress on the skills once a week for 3 weeks. And usually it's donation-based, so that's about how much it costs. We encourage anyone to attend. Women only is for women or female-identifying folks, and there's still room to sign up for the one next week, May 1st, 8th, and 15th. And we do that, again, once a quarter, and all of our events and activities are on our website, bikewalkkc.org.
And do you find that the women that come to your women-only thing say that they wouldn't have come if they'd had to share with men because they find they get all the attention or because of other reasons? And what would those reasons be?
I don't don't know if I've heard that directly, but that's definitely been implied. I think what I've seen in the last few years since we've been doing women-focused programming, we've seen an increase in attendance in those classes over the last few years. So that's saying, okay, this is in demand. I think similar to what I said earlier about bike shops can kind of be intimidating places. We love our local bike shops. Support your local bike shops. But for a woman who may want to hasn't ridden a bike in 20 years and may want to get into it, it can be intimidating to kind of navigate when the people that they most often see are men with fancy bikes riding really fast, and so it can be an intimidating place to enter into. And so that's one of the barriers, I think. Another one is hygiene. What do I do with my hair? How do I pack my deodorant? How do I, you know, that sort of thing, and making those considerations. And so those are all barriers that we talk through on the first day of class, and it's a really kind of inclusive environment to really talk about, you know, what are your personal barriers? And it gets a little vulnerable, but that's how we kind of work through and get folks a little more comfortable and confident.
I know that when my wife and I learned to ride motorcycles, we did the motorcycle safety course, and they at least twice a year offer a women-only weekend course, and that's why we signed up for that one. And the instructors there said that some women just wouldn't come if there were guys there, and that they found that when there are guys on the course, if there are women, they tend to talk over them so the women don't get their questions asked and may not feel as confident to ask questions when they don't know things, because they know that they will get interrupted and talked over, or the instructor will automatically answer a guy first. Mm-hmm.
So, I found some statistics online that said, in terms of barriers to cycling, 60% of men and approximately 3/4 of women said that the cost of buying a bicycle was a bit intimidating, because if you really don't know much about what you want to buy, you can go out and look at bike shops and you can see a tremendous range in prices, all the way from very basic bicycles to carbon fiber and ceramic composite things like you would use in the Olympics. It's, you know, it's like when you go to get a tennis racket. If you go to even like Dick's Sporting Goods, you can find tennis rackets for $5. You can find them for $500, and it's not really clear which one you need or if it's worth your money to even, you know, where's the best value for your dollar. So do you help people with that?
Yes, we do. And BikeWalk KC does a lot of helping people kind of work through that through a lot of our equity work that we do. And I would also say that Kansas City has two community bike shops, 816 Bicycle Collective and Revolve Kansas City. And both of those are purposely built around helping people who might want to get their first bike and don't want to drop $1,000. And so those two community bike shops are great places to go to kind of try some things out and, you know, not break your wallet on a new bike. But yeah, BikeWalk KC, we do a lot of earn a bike programs. So we do it with adults and also with children, where we will partner with a group like Hope Faith Ministries or Artists Helping the Homeless. And we will work to have those folks get bikes because they really need them for transportation. So there are resources out in the community to help people get bikes that and navigate that process of being in a bike shop. And I wouldn't recommend one particular bike shop over another, but you know, that's something that BikeWalk KC can help people kind of work through.
Yeah, I would add the most important thing in picking a bike, just as with a motorcycle or a tennis racket, is try them. Go places, try out different bikes, see what fits. There's no one brand that's best. The brands probably would argue differently, but I think it's important to try lots of things and visit multiple shops, see where you feel comfortable. If you are working through a bike shop, you should be comfortable with the person that's selling you the bike and not feel pressured into buying it. As Maggie said, the Earn a Bike programs, we do take bicycle donations. So if people are interested, again, on our website, bikewalkkc.org, you can find out how to donate a bicycle that gets fixed up and repaired and given to a person in need.
And I will say really quickly, in our Confident City Cycling series, we have built in this as a whole discussion in one of our lessons, is we show pictures of different kinds of bikes, mountain bike, a road bike, a hybrid. We have a big wheel on one of the photos just to kind of be funny. So we talk through the different styles of bikes and what you may use one bike over another. And then we go through kind of basics of bike fitting and kind of what you need to know. You know, they have you're supposed to stand over the bike. It's called standover height, and make sure that the frame isn't too big for you. So we tell people how to do that. Particularly important if you're buying a bike on Craigslist or something like that. You want to try it and ride it and see if it fits first.
So I imagine, given all the potholes that we have in Kansas City, Missouri, you'd recommend like a mountain bike of some sort.
Oh, man. I will be honest with you, and I just got a new bike, and the thickness of my tires were determined by how many potholes I have to ride over. But I would say, you know, we teach people how to fix flat tires, too. So, you know, it's about kind of equipping yourself with the skills to know how to, if you do get a flat, no matter where it is, you know, you can fix the flat. But also finding the right bike, no matter potholes, not potholes, finding the right bike fit for you and the right style for you is something we talk about.
I remember that process as a kid, carefully moving the inner tube round in the thing of water, desperately hoping that I would actually see the bubbles because they're so tiny sometimes. Oh, yes. It was painful.
I mean, I can say there is actually a pothole. I can actually see it from our window here in the KKFI studio. There is a pothole out here at 39th and Main that every time I forget and hit it with my motorcycle, it just about throws me completely over. So it's the folks out there, you really need to fix that pothole. It's awful.
Well, I do know a lot of the local cities have a way of reporting potholes and where they are. I know that Overland Park, on their website, they've got a report piece, and if you're actually at the place, there's a map and you can tap and it will detect where you are, and it can pinpoint exactly where the pothole is, and you can send that in. Yep. And so I think it might be important, just like the reporting the harassment.
Exactly.
If you know potholes are a pain for you on your route, report them to your city. They can't fix them if they don't know they're there.
Absolutely. And City of Kansas City, it's 311. They have a Twitter account. It's great. I monitor our Twitter for Bike Walk KC, and I see it all day long. People reporting, and they create a ticket. You can track the ticket. It's beautiful.
So is there a way for bicycling women to stay connected throughout the entire year, like a Facebook group or a forum where they could even create or schedule group bicycling within their own community?
That's a great question. So Bike Walk KC and the Women's Initiative can only be so many places at once. So I think it was last year we were like, hey, let's create a Facebook group called Women Bike KC and invite people to it and have them kind of interact with each other and post different rides. And so we did that very thing, and I think we have about 300 something, maybe more than that.
Mm-hmm.
300 members on our Facebook group, Women Bike KC. And it is specifically for women and female identifying folks, just so that it's a safe space for people to interact. But we've seen a ton of people talk to each other that way and share different things. And we know that we've also seen an increase in attendance at our events and our Women's Initiative programming. So I think that the networking through the Facebook group has really helped kind of raise the awareness. And I know not everyone is on Facebook, so we do keep a calendar of events and activities on our website. And if it is something women-only or women-specific, we have it identified as that.
I think that's really good. It must build much more confidence to be able to ride with a group than to ride by yourself. Because I know when I would ride my bike by myself, it just was not nearly as fun, but it also didn't make me feel as safe as when I had at least one other person with me.
And I think if you get to know people on the Facebook group, if you've been kind of intending to do a class and then there's someone you sort of know that you can do the class with you, you're way more likely to actually sign up and register and do it because you feel like you already know people a little.
So before we had the Facebook group, I taught a cohort of women-only Confident City Cycling, and I think it was 15 women or so took that class, and this was like a year and a half ago, and they were so excited about riding together and progressing through the sessions together through our Bike Walk KC class that they made their own Facebook group, and the 15 of them tried to ride together, and they coordinated rides, and so Yeah, the networking component of it is definitely an outcome we've been seeing from our women's programming.
We are talking with Maggie Green and Karen Campbell from Bike Walk KC. We're going to take a short break to listen to a little bit of music, a song about bicycles, actually, by a Japanese girl punk rock group called Shonen Knife. And then we will return to talk more about ways to encourage and help women gain more confidence and better health and really find a way to connect more through bicycling. Hello and welcome back to Every Woman. We are talking with Maggie and Karen from Bike Walk KC. We just heard the song Cycling is Fun by Shonen Knife. They're described as a Japanese punk rock girl group. I guess for Japan that qualifies as punk rock.
They certainly don't look punk rock in their pictures.
Well, I think it's why even if you listen to like baby metal, you know, from Japan, they aren't nearly at all what you'd consider metal in some cases.
It's like when you look at old photos of the Beatles and wonder how people describe them as such rebels and so scruffy and they've got these neat haircuts and smart clothes and things.
Or Frank Sinatra. I mean, people used to, like, parents used to ban their daughters from listening to Frank Sinatra because he was like the devil.
Maybe he was. Or blue eyes, or neck. I mean, who knows?
So we're back talking about things that aren't related to Frank Sinatra, which is confident cycling for women in the Kansas City area. And I know that you have a summit coming up, a bike summit in September. Why don't you tell our listeners about that and why they might like to attend?
Sure. So the fourth Women's Bike Summit is September 15th, 2018. We're counting down the days. And the Women's Bike Summit, the first one was in 2014. And it was just a day to celebrate women and bicycling and getting more women interested in bicycling. There's some workshops. We did maintenance classes. We had a couple panels talking about barriers to women and bicycling in the Kansas City area. So we've kind of continued that tradition over the last few years. And at this point, it's a biennial, so every other year. So the fall is our Women's Bike Summit, September 15th. And we're excited to have a day kind of dedicated to talking about women in bicycling, women in transportation, getting women more involved in community and civic engagement, getting women to advocate for things in their neighborhood. And then we usually have a bunch of bike rides and kind of hands-on maintenance classes at the tail end of the day. So it's a day long. It starts at 9 a.m., ends about 2, and then bike rides following in the afternoon. And it's just kind of a day to celebrate women on bikes. And you don't have to be a bike rider to attend. We really want to encourage any women and girls to attend.
And where is it held again? Are you still working on a venue?
We're still working on a venue. We're finalizing. We're really excited about it. But registration will be open this Friday, May 4th. May the 4th be with Women Bike KC. And so registration will be open on Friday. And so we encourage folks to check that out. And there'll be a lot more details posted on Friday.
Bike or do not bike. There is no try.
That's right. So Maggie just said a magic word, and that is May. May is International Bike Month, and Kansas City really does Bike Month very well. There will be activities and events all throughout the month celebrating cycling. There is a website, kcbikemonth.com, where anyone can go and put on a bike-related activity. There's a bike-in movie that's happening down on the boulevard. Bike to Work Day is May 18th, and so there are commuter stops that will be set up all over the city. People out encouraging and thanking cyclists for riding their bikes, and those are local businesses, bike shops, even Sloop Dental in Brookside is having one. We're excited about that.
They get extra work for people swallowing flies or something?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. A little extra something between the teeth. And then on May 20th is Bike Walk KC's annual Tour de Beer bike ride. And I just want to put a pitch in for that. We were talking about encouraging women and riding together. The Tour de Beer was my first ever group ride. I did the 15-mile route. I had a group of friends. We did it together. We went to 6 breweries, had little samples at each place. It's fully supported. So if you were to have a flat or just decide you didn't want to go anymore, Bike Walk KC will come pick you up. But it's a great day to go out and celebrate cycling in the city.
Okay, quick question there. I know people aren't allowed to drink and drive. Are there regulations like that with cycling?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
So the breweries serve very small samples. If everyone signs a waiver, so if one were to choose to stay and have more than that, they've signed a waiver. But yes, it is against the law to cycle under the influence.
Well, I actually did not know that. That's incredible. You touched on something about encouraging employers to support bike commuters and so forth. Some of the ways that employers do that is by putting up bike racks. At my company, they put up some nice bike racks. Then they also instituted a they basically have a locker room where bikers can come in and change from their street clothes into their work clothes, and they even have showers separated so people can freshen up. But I know that some employers are not very understanding of these sorts of things. I have a friend who recently was a very hardcore biker and rode her bike to work every day, and she didn't have any place to secure her bike at her employment place, so she would bring it in and put it in the back in the kitchen area, and her employer laid down the law and said, you can't bring that thing in here, you can't keep it in the store. And she said, well, there's no place I can lock it up out front. And he said, well, either bring your car or quit your job. And she quit her job because she did not want to stop riding her bike. Have you ever done anything or done any efforts to try to encourage employers to work with bicyclists and really help them?
Yes, we offer training and consulting for businesses to become bicycle-friendly employers. That's actually a designation by the League of American Bicyclists. There's information about that on our website as well. We also offer parking services, bike parking services. So we will do free consultation and free design work for organizations and then extend a nonprofit discount, our nonprofit discount with Darrow Bicycles for great pricing on bike racks. And businesses who support cyclists know that cycling means business. Cyclists are great contributors to the economy. It's good for employee wellness. It's good for morale. So we will come to companies and do a lunch and learn, or we'll have companies come to our office and volunteer to do bike assembly or different things like that to help encourage employers to see the benefits of cycling.
Depending on the field you're in, it can cost $10,000 to $20,000 in costs of lost productivity, how much it costs for HR to find someone, all of the upskilling things as you bring in a new employee. It's got to have been cheaper than that to have put in a bike rack to have kept her.
Yes.
And we would encourage people to reach out to us if they want a bike rack in front of the place that they work or the coffee shop that they frequent. I think we are seeing more bike racks and bike parking pop up around the city, and that's really encouraging, because I know through education classes we hear that as a barrier, that, you know, I'm not as motivated to ride, or I'm not as comfortable riding because there's nowhere to lock my bike once I get there. And so in order to encourage more people to ride and be confident riding, we know that bike parking and bike storage is definitely something that we're working on.
And thinking of seeing things pop up around the city, a few years ago I noticed outside the Nelson Atkins there's a rack of bikes that you can just rent and then drop off somewhere else wherever you're actually going, instead of having to go all the way back to where you got it, if you just feel like trying a bike for a little bit or feeling nostalgic one afternoon when you're up there. Can you tell people about that?
Yes, so that is Kansas City B-Cycle. Bike Walk KC is the owner-operator of Kansas City B-Cycle. We have 41 stations located throughout the city and 240 bikes. They are at locations that you would expect, places like Union Station, the River Market, the Nelson. Atkins is actually a sponsor of BikeShare. The Nelson and several of our sponsors also give BikeShare memberships to their employees, again, as a health and wellness benefit. The Art Institute as well for all their students, which I think is incredible. It's a great benefit.
What I've noticed about those stations is that they actually cost, but I can never figure out how much they cost.
The short answer is it's $3 for 30 minutes. And that's if you just walk up to the kiosk, swipe your credit card, and take out a bike. There are other membership opportunities, including annual memberships. You can get a day pass, a month pass. Those are all available on our website, bikewalkkc.org. You'll browse over to the link that says Kansas City B-Cycle at the top. And during May, Bike Month, we'll be offering specials on BikeShare and on Bike to Work Day, free rides on BikeShare.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, sorry. One thing I wanted to ask, referring back to something earlier, you had a donate a bike program. Now, I'm wondering if that program is like our vehicle donation program we have here at KKFI, where because you're a 501c3, a person who donates a bike can actually deduct it off their taxes?
Correct. So for every donation that we receive, bicycle donation, we have a tax donation form. We keep a copy. We give it to the donor if they so wish. And that's a way for us to kind of track how many bikes we get in and out every year. But because we are a 501c3, all donations are tax deductible.
About how many bikes a year will you get donated?
That's a great question. So this semester, from January to May, we're giving out, I think, over 200 bikes, which is the most ever. And that tells you a lot about the growth of our programs. And there's really a demand for, you know, kids and adults around the community needing bikes, wanting bikes to get around. And so I would say we're cycling through, pun intended, about 400 bikes a year, I would say. And so we're very thankful to all of the generous donors who have donated bikes to us before, because that really is kind of the way that we're able to do the amount of Earn a Bike programming that we do every year, is because of those donations.
So I want to go back to the trails, since one of the places that I would use bikes most if I were to would be on nature trails. And I know we have lots of nature areas around Kansas City, but do they have bike trails? And if so, which one is your personal favorite?
Ooh, that's a great question. I will say, linking back to bike share, last year we installed with Jackson County Parks and Rec a bike share station at Longview Lake at the marina there. And it almost immediately became our second highest ridership. There's about 11 miles of paved bike trail that people can ride. And so it's been great to see that. We hope other parks will come online and install bikes available for people to rent and ride. It's a great way to encourage families to get out and ride together. My personal favorite is probably the Indian Creek Trail, just south in Kansas City. It's really beautiful. It's paved. It's a little hilly, but not terribly challenging, and you can see a lot of the city. It goes, I think, 30 miles. You can connect to other trails from it as well. So I can ride there from my house, too, which is nice.
How about the Mill Creek Streamway Parks Trail? Have you been on that?
I have not.
Is that the one in Shawnee Mission Park?
Yes.
Yes, I've been on that. That's a nice one.
It
That's
goes beautiful. About 19 miles, I think, from Olathe to Shawnee Mission. I used to walk it all the time, and it's very, very hilly in some areas. So I think I see people having to walk their bikes up it. So there is that caveat.
There's like only two places where you have to come off the trail and actually cross a road. They've been very good. And it like goes all the way from the island on the Kansas River all the way to Olathe, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a resource that I would point folks to is Mid-America Regional Council has a brand new spring 2018 bike map. And it's a map of all the trails and bicycle facilities in the whole region. And so it is online on Mark's website. And so you can pull it up on your phone. We have some printed maps at our office. But that's a great resource, because I think a lot of the times people don't know where the trails are. Or there's a great trail and then it doesn't connect. There's a missing connector piece. And so that's something we're kind of gearing our advocacy to, is, you know, how can we help connect between municipalities, trails to trails, so that people can, and then wayfinding and signage, so that people know how to find those trails. So we do have some amazing trails in the region. And so I think something that I would like to see is a little bit more on connecting them and then showing people how to use them and where they are.
So what are some ways that you want to help bicycling women in the future that you haven't been able to yet?
That's a great question. We've seen a lot of growth over the last few years, and we've touched on it a little bit. I think just today, I was been working outside all day, and I saw three different pairs of women riding bikes. Two were riding on Main Street. Two were on Holmes, and then the other one was a mom and a young daughter riding on 31st Street, and they did their hand signal and everything, and it was just the cutest thing. So I'm really excited that it is changing, and that there are more women riding, and it's not where I'd be riding and I wave at someone and I know who they are. That's how it used to be. There are so many different people riding bikes, different women riding bikes, and it's really encouraging. Something that I think that we're committed to working on is really diversifying the initiative and trying to reach women that we're not already reaching. So that's, you know, different areas of town, women of color, different groups that we don't necessarily reach through our normal social media. So we are really trying to be intentional about being inclusive and inviting people to our different classes. So kind of diversifying the initiative, reaching women we're not already reaching is something that I think we're working on.
Like, could you maybe one day give one of those classes in Spanish to help the Hispanic community?
Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah.
That would be great.
And I know to you know, build off what you said earlier, bicycling in general is typically thought of something that is in the suburbs and not so much the urban core. So you're working to try to change that a bit in the urban core area.
Yes. And I think, you know, in general, we want to see more women on bikes everywhere. But we are really trying to reach women that we're not, that we haven't historically engaged with. I think the other one that, you know, where I want to see Women Bike KC head is, or even the region in general, is more women involved in transportation and in that conversation in our region. You know, we've come a long way with bike lanes and sidewalks, and we're getting there with transit. There's a lot of exciting things happening, but I would really like to see more women engaged in that conversation and advocating for things in their communities. And that's not to say that it's not already happening. I think there's a lot of really powerful women doing amazing things out there. But yeah, I don't know if you want to.
Well, I would just add on to that. I think a lot of times people don't know where to start. And so they can start with Bike Walk KC. They can ask us that question, and we can help direct them to the councils, the committees, the public meetings, the activities that are happening in their community. We have a page on our website, /local, and it's divided by each part of the city to help people get tied into their community. I think a lot of times we sit back and say, oh, there's a pothole, but I don't know what to do about it. Ask Bike Walk KC. We can help.
And I'd like to say that today is gorgeous weather for riding your bike. It's not too hot and it's not too cold. And I think a lot of people might feel that there's a very short cycling season in Kansas City because it's so cold in the winter and so hot in the summer, especially if you're going to wear any safety gear at all. So do you have a sort of weather-appropriate safety gear recommendation for people for when it's really horribly hot in the summer but they still want to go out and ride? Because you don't want them having heat stroke, but you don't want people getting concussed.
Right. I would say hydrating, water, you know, water, sunscreen, sunglasses, that sort of thing, no matter what you're doing in the summer is kind of a good idea. I'm kind of a weird one out, and I don't necessarily think that you need special clothes or special things to ride. I usually just kind of ride in whatever I'm wearing, and I don't like to necessarily think that you need to have certain equipment or whatever, you know, in order to ride. That's not to say that you still need to be safe and be visible and have lights and that kind of thing. And so, you know, in the summertime, I think it's avoid the peak times where, you know, it's going to be really super hot. You know, make sure you have a water bottle with you. You know, we have plenty of water bottle cages we can help people install if you need that. And so, and same thing with the cold weather, too. We usually do an annual blog post in the winter talking through how do you layer up for winter cycling and what sort of things you need to do for your bike for winter cycling. And I'm imagining we'll probably do one for summer safety as well.
And there was a campaign, I think it's still a campaign, called Glow Before You Go. And it's encouraging people to wear high visibility clothing and have lights and these sorts of things. And I think that's great. I think it's important messaging. But it's back to the conversation about attentiveness by drivers. I can be lit up in neon, and I still might get hit by a car. So to say it's what I was wearing that caused me to get hit by a car, you know, takes the responsibility off of the person that did the hitting.
So, although riding in the evening is in one way easier in the summer, you want to be wearing the right equipment so people can see you. But it is in a cooler manner. I mean, cooler manner? Cooler weather.
Right.
Yes, riding in the evening, it's very cool. But usually when I see bicyclists on the road in my area in Johnson County, they're wearing the skin-tight clothing that looks like it's been spray-painted on. And
neon, of course.
Yeah, on the, yeah. On some of the people, it shows so much that I don't think the folks at Missy B's would feel comfortable wearing it. I mean, you just see way too much. So they always have the bullet-shaped helmets too, and.
And I think something that Bike What Casey is good about is trying to be inclusive of all types of riders in our programming, in our outreach, and that a barrier can be to bicycling and for women too. Well, what if I don't have money to buy that stuff? Or what if I don't know what size to wear for that kind of stuff? And so we just try to preach, an inclusive bike riding is relatively safe. We try to give the basic safety message to folks about, signaling your turns and obeying traffic signs and that kind of thing. But outside of that, you can ride in pretty much any type of bike and wear pretty much whatever you want, as long as it's appropriate, of course.
Maybe not flip-flops because they can slide
off. That's true,
right.
That's a safety concern. Yes. Correct, yes.
Well, I'd really like to thank you for coming today. Can you give us your URL again in case anyone wants to follow up with you?
Absolutely. That's www.bikewalkkc.org.
Thank you very much for coming today. I know that we all learned today that May is Cycling Month. There is also a special event next Saturday, May 5th, that is near and dear to my heart. A lot of women don't read comic books because they were told that that was a boy's thing. And it's becoming less of a thing, but it's so much of a trope. You see it in Big Bang Theory, the guys in the comic shop recoiling in horror when a woman walks in because they may never have seen one before. I'd like to say
well,
that...
Well, at least not a human female.
Yes. You let your females wear clothing. So, next weekend there's a special event. So, whether you're interested in comics for yourself, or nostalgia, or for your family, I would like to give you the URL so that you can find out more about this special event and which of your comic book stores near you might be taking part in it. And the URL for this event is www.comic book.day.com. And that should give you all the information you need to know about that event. So we're coming to the end of our time today. Next week we'll be back with Bhavya Wagner talking about helping communities in Cambodia. And coming right up we will have Donna Wolf with Urban Connections. And we'll leave you with a song.